So for next while, I like to work on questions. Thank you very much. Question: how should we deal with the five hindrances when they arise in meditation and the life? Bracket: meditation is life, life is meditation. And the person explains the five hindrances: lust, aversion, restlessness, sloth, torpor, and doubt. Thank you very much. So hindrances, or in Pali we say nivarana, when you start practice and study Buddhism, this is sooner or later you come across this, and something you've almost, or all of us needs to learn and work with. And just context, what is nivarana or hindrances? In Buddhism, eightfold noble path. Am I correct? Ariya Atanki Kamaka. Eightfold Noble Path. This is the Buddha's way of describing how we can practice. Eightfold Sammaditti, Sammasankappa, so right view, right intention, and so on. But also this eight can be categorized or put together in three as Sila, Samadhi, Panya. Or in English, morality, samadhi. Usually you see translation as concentration, not exactly correct. So almost like to say samadhi is samadhi. But if you want to get a sense what it is concentration, it's something in that direction. And then panya, wisdom. And Rinpoche or Ajahn Chah, when he teaches or explains this Sila, Samadhi, Panya in a very simple way. What is Sila? What is Samadhi? What is Panya? Seeing, seeing my mi ba, Samadhi my mi ni won, Panya my mi tok. Sorry, Thai word. His way of saying is, Sila is no unskillfulness or unwholesomeness. Last night I talked about in the context of taking a precept, particularly five precepts. So, akusara in Pali, in English, unskillfulness or unwholesomeness. More usual English word, bad intention. Wrong, right, wrong is not correct, but bad one, because that one brings us unhappiness. But if I say bad, it's pretty much cheap word. So, unwholesome, unskillful, this is very correct. So Rinpoche is saying, Sila is none of this, non unwholesomeness. Samadhi, non-nivarana, or non-hindrances. And wisdom is non-suffering. And a usual way of thinking what is wisdom, or in usual way of saying wisdom, he's a wise person, bit different from clever person, wise person. What do we think? How do we perceive? But in Buddhism and Rinpoche's way of summarizing it very clear, what is wisdom, panya, is non-suffering. And this is really essence of Buddhism. It is simple, but if you really, practice and then contemplate and understand, actually essence is there. For instance, like a Four Noble Truths, this is in Lord Buddha's first discourse, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, or a discourse of turning the wheel of Dhamma. What's all about this in that is Four Noble Truths: suffering, cause of suffering, cessation of suffering, and the path leading to the cessation of suffering. And this Eightfold Noble Path is mentioned in the fourth one, path leading to the end or cessation of suffering. So it is about the suffering or dukkha. So for Rinpoche to say, panya, what is panya? Is non-suffering. And when I first heard, when I was very much a junior monk, it's not from Rinpoche himself. When I came to Thailand, he was still alive, but he was in what we call vegetable state. But I heard this one of his senior disciples. And then, this is a very clever way of summarizing sila, samadhi, panya. I mean, if you go to Buddhist country, or if you read Buddhist books, this is often you come across these three: sila, samadhi, panya. Sila, samadhi, panya. And then you read the book, sila is this, samadhi is this, and so on. But for Rinpoche, essence is there, very direct, and then very practical, and very true. So, what is sila? Is non-unskillfulness. Non-unwholesomeness, samadhi, no hindrances, I will explain further later, and then no panya, non-suffering. When I heard it, very, very good. But the more I hear various teachings and then practice, actually this summarizing wisdom or panya as a non-suffering really tells, points us to essence, the essence of what Buddhism offers. Going back to samadhi, so the question was, is about hindrances, and then, or nirvana. So you can say, what is samadhi is non-existence of nirvana. Nivarana, there are five of them, as the person said. Karma, chanta, sensual desire. When you meditate, I wish I can have this, I want to eat this, or I want to... I can't get a good example right now, but something you want to entertain. If you like music, or beautiful forms, or tasty things, you want to have karma, chanta. Second one, payapada, ill will. The person says, aversion, similar, aversion, anger, in the same category. So when you meditate, I don't like this pain. There can be many of them, but I don't want to reinforce our tendencies. I just raise one example, physical pain, but I'm sure we have many other examples of this. And the other three, tina mitta. This is a sloth and torpor. Well, this English word I never come across apart from when I read about hindrances. My understanding is more like a sleepiness, drowsiness, or lacking in energy, laziness. All of this come to under this category. When you come to in the morning, sleepy, I don't want to get up, just I cannot motivate myself and so on. This also quite familiar sounds, familiar to us. Fourth, what's that? Uttaccha kukkuccha, restlessness. So this is what we call monkey mind. So really, one after another, one moment after another, mind goes to maybe I like to sit now. Ah, maybe walking is better. Well, maybe I can read the books. Oh, yeah. How about calling my friend? Yeah, I don't know about it. So it's ridiculous, but just mind sometimes there's no order, there's no direction, but one after another, as if monkey goes from one branch to another. And the fifth one, what's left? Doubt. What's the Pali word? Doubt. Vichikicca is. Vichikicca. So this is also a challenge. Like when you meditate, is this a right to retreat? Is the Buddhism is the right way? Or can I trust him? there are many of this. And in meditation, this comes, you can't do good job, or it hinders, hindrances. It is not only the meditation, the life is the same. For instance, you need to perform certain tasks, study, and then there's a okay, finish. You have to finish report, and then I like that program. Oh, today there's a football match and so on, and you can go away, or when you want to focus it, but I don't like that professor. He's really. I can't respect him, and the mind that doesn't. You know, so mind is agitated with aversion, or if you're sleepy, or mind is restless, or doubt. Any of this just hinders or even stops you from you doing this job, or even if you can do, but just like driving a car, you try to. Press acceleration, but at the same time you're holding a brake, something like this. It doesn't go so smoothly. But the other way around, you can imagine if we don't have any of this, no sensual desire, no ill will, no distress, no doubt, no sleepiness, and so on. You can imagine. Very clear, alert, totally open and so forth. Or if you want to perform something, yes, very straightforward, no doubt about it. Hindrances or nivarana, samadhi, this is just a pair. So as Rinpoche describes or summarizes, samadhi, no nivarana. And now, when we experience, when you come to the meditation retreat, or come to the monastery, or even to become ordained in the monastery, this is something we really experience. And each one, there can be certain strategy to work with. And if you go to a library, if you listen to talks and so on, there are many good books that mentioned about how to work with it. There are upaya, skillful means, and then their experiences. Quite a rich area because everybody share this problem. And for now, what I want to say is, you know, earlier today I talked about in the morning the example of Bangkok Central Station, the terminal. The train comes, goes. So you may say hindrance is also trains. Some trains are very long, some trains come from the long distance, some trains come from suburb, many passengers, no passengers, stays here long time. Some trains come few minutes after, goes back. So just like in our meditation, we wish none of the train comes. Ah, what a nice peaceful station. We can think like this, but just the nature of station or nature of our mind, usually or quite often, almost always, train comes. And then leave. And so instead of we make judgment, or we, maybe I can say, fall into believing too seriously, this train is wrong, I don't like that, those passengers and so on. Yes, when there is a ill will, when there is a doubt, yes, we need to be careful, we need to be skillful, it's true. But also, if we have a bigger perspective of this is simply trains. This is also the mind is just terminal. We do not have to go there to fight with the trains. No, you shouldn't stay here, you have to go soon and then put the passenger and then send them away. You go there and the next train comes, oh yes, you shouldn't. Certainly we become exhausted. But if we trust what is the station, what is the train's nature coming and going, we start to learn how to be at ease or how to be peaceful with the situation. You see, if we, Buddhism, when we talk about the Buddhism, nowadays, even in the West, the Buddhism is getting popular, very good. And then Buddhism is seen as a religion of peace, I think. Yeah, so because sometimes some of the religion maybe had a history of, I'm sorry, I will not criticize anything this, but like holy war. So under the name of religion, people had the fighting, even war. So that's probably part of history. And then fall into this part of the world, Buddhism may be seen as a peaceful religion. But inside the Buddhism too, we can fight very well. but at least I can agree what we really share in the Buddhist teaching. One way to one of the characteristics is a peace. And then, like when we come to practice, oh, I want to experience peace, opposed to busyness or hectic state of mind. Yeah, I want to experience peace. But then, what is peace? And then, yes, in meditation, sometimes or often, or depend on the situation, we may experience what we really call peace. Just like a non-existence of nirvana, definitely a reassuring experience. But if we are looking for this peace only, the peace in terms of state of mind, okay, nirvana, no nirvana, or maybe so peaceful, this is so nice, that kind of peace. If we think peace as certain state of mind, then any state of mind is actually impermanent. Sabbe sankhara anicca. Everything, all the conditioned phenomena, and more precisely saying all conditioned phenomena, but just we can say everything is impermanent. So even this beautiful state of mind, or very, very agreeable state of mind, peaceful state of mind, can change. And then if we see peace as this only, this is peace, yes, but if we see this one only as peace, then we might fall into struggle between peace and non-peace. No, I don't get the peace. And then, oh, my meditation is not good. Or I am not a good meditator. But from the beginning of this retreat, what I'd like to share is actually peace is not necessarily identified in a certain state of mind, which is impermanent. Because of impermanent nature, if we identify it as our source of happiness or even refuge, yes, we are going to suffer because it changes, and when it goes, we become upset. We become fight with others even. So that's why what is the peace, what is true happiness is actually quite a serious question. So peace, or if I extend the word, true answer, is it in a certain state of mind or actually in attitude? So from the beginning of this retreat, what I've been saying is actually this attitude. And peace is actually in this attitude itself. Like the simile of Bangkok Central Terminal, or doesn't have to be Bangkok or anywhere, but just a terminal, railway station. Instead of we are looking for certain kind of trains, oh, this is beautiful, or non-existence of trains, this is the best station, can we say this? Or simply recognizing the nature of the trains and station, and maybe against or trusting in that. So once you recognize, using our wisdom faculty too, once we recognize this, and then with the attitude itself, we can see actually peace is already there. Peace is not something we have to achieve. We have to work hard to gain, as if we are climbing a mountain or rushing to a certain goal. But just recognizing through right contemplation, what is it? And once you understand, yes, peace is actually there. It is to do with our understanding. It is to do with our attitude. So coming back to these hindrances, yes, so can be very, very challenging. Although I said this simile, I hope it makes sense to you. But sometimes trains are ridiculous. Not just a nice train comes in, okay, this is the nature of train. Sometimes train is totally overwhelming. So then maybe lots of work become needed, or sometimes patience is required. And just the next one, how to relate with the torpor. So I think there's another person also asking about drowsiness. And yes, and as I said, each of five hindrances, it's a rich area. And I can do many talks on this. But just for now, I talk about drowsiness. And when we come to meditation retreat like this, and yeah, we have a sincere intention, and yes, but often sleepiness comes strongly to us, and we feel really discouraging. I give up my weekend, I come here, or I really had to negotiate my work colleague to come here, and so forth. And then, okay, now is the time to practice. It's really disappointing. And this is to some degree inevitable, because this place is so peaceful. In other words, very little things are stimulating. You know, in the world, from television, computer, to just walking the street, so many sensory input or something to stimulate our senses. So do you feel like this is alive and excited, either happy or even excited when you feel angry, you feel like, a good example is righteous anger. I can't forgive this. But actually, he looks very happy. But you come here taking eight precepts. So it means no music or anything, no silence. So the input through sense door becomes minimal. So mind usually being entertained, stimulated by various things, now most of them are gone, so becomes dull. And so quite natural to feel sleepy. And then so-called, quote-unquote, peacefulness is very close to this sense of drowsiness. Ah, so nice. Embrace. Out breath, in breath. and also, I have to say, some of you, or many of you, are having quite a responsibility in life, either in a family or work situation. So, once we come to this kind of place, just as a rebound reaction, drowsiness is also quite natural. And my experience too, I usually live in Atamaravati, yes, quite a, you may think peaceful place, and it is, but I have a responsibility. So often when I change the monastery, Wednesday, I traveled from south to here. And yes, I like train journey. I traveled by train. It took over 3 hours. I like train journey, but most of the time I was just... It's a pity. I mean, it's such a pleasant scenery and everything, but... And it wasn't enough. I arrived here. Soon after we had a meal, and then, but before the meal, I was already sleepy. And then, I had a green tea to make sure I am at least somewhat awake at the meal time to give Anumodana chanting. And after the Anumodana chanting, so I went back to my room, and then a long period of nap. And this is I notice even when I was in Thailand, quite often when I visited other monasteries, first days to the second days, almost like an embarrassing amount of drowsiness came. What's happening? So depending on what's been carrying in your daily life, not necessarily just the immediate last week, sometimes you come to the monastery, months and months or years of what we call exhaustion or even a sense of burden. And this is a very peaceful and a safe place. So naturally, soon or gradually, it comes out. And then, and then sleepiness comes. So that's why I said inevitable. It's not necessarily very long. But if you just keep on sleeping and sleeping, that doesn't lead to proper understanding. I said, yes, wisdom, panya, of Buddhism is there to understand this issue of suffering and non-suffering. And to understand, we need to be awake. When you are asleep, so nice, but wisdom cannot arise. Only wisdom can arise by seeing it clearly. That's why awakefulness is required. And that's why sleepiness is under the category, under the name of hindrances or nivarana. Because sleepiness itself is not immediate danger. You know, if you have anger, yes, problem. If you speak out based on anger, yes, big problem. Or karmachanda, sensual desire, I want to eat, I eat, I want to listen to nice music. Itself doesn't have to be wrong, but okay, like an eating habit can cause some health problem. Or if you like it, if you don't get it, you become angry. Or if you have it, you cannot let go. Cause of problem too. So you can see too, this sensual desire or wanting also, I have to be careful. But sleeping is even less harmful. What's wrong about it? Just sleeping. Or maybe if you have to work, you cannot produce things, okay? You can see the problem there. But more in terms of practicing Dhamma, to be awake, to see clearly is needed. So what I'm saying is, okay, drowsiness is, okay, I don't want you to feel upset about it or really discouraged. Oh, I come to the monastery and then what I'm doing this. I'm explaining why this happens. This is quite common. And yet, of course, sooner or longer term, this is also we cannot overlook. We have to understand this. And, you know, here, 5 days retreat, but once, like for us ordained, this can become very, very serious challenge. When we come to the monastery and become ordained, yes, we have very sincere or even serious intention. Otherwise, we can't let go of that background, this and that, and yes, I want to do. It's just a huge commitment, change, total change of life. So usually you are so motivated, yes. And then, like, you come to morning puja, you know, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, or if it's in Thailand, 3 o'clock. But still, you come and then come and meditate. And the best time of the day, just after you have enough amount of sleep, mind is more or less fresh. And then, best time, and I can meditate. I'm proceeding in the right direction. That's really a fulfilling experience. But quite commonly, what follows is opposite of it. Drowsiness somehow comes. As I just like as I said, the monastery is the place peaceful, so little stimuli from outside. That's why mind start become dull. You know, initially you have a motivated mind, but motivated mind too of the nature of impermanence. It's not like always. So, okay, very good. I want to do it. This is the meaning of my life. Yay! And my experience in Thailand, you know, there temperature is the hot season. Cold season is reasonable. It's still warmer than right now, 25 degree, 20, 25, but still okay. But the hot season, 30, 35 degree, even from the morning, you know. That's why we wake up so early, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yes, at least this is the coolest time of the day. But when you wake up, you find your body sticky with the sweat. And also, I'm not... Okay, I can go on and on. Just focus on one thing. So one example of my experience is in the morning, okay, hot season, wake up and then go to the sala. And then meditate together, but sleeping. Okay, get up, walk. Yes. Walking meditation is a very good tool to work against the drowsiness, and bring up energy and so on. Walking. You see, but the drowsiness, the amount of drowsiness or intensity of drowsiness then was, I can really use with the true sense of the word meaning of the word, ridiculous. You know, there, inside the meditation hall we call sala, front half we are sitting. Then bottom half, if you wish, you can stand up and do walking meditation. So I got up and walking. But just walking from one end to the other end was... And then it is bigger than this building, so there are pillars. So when you come to one pillar, you almost like feel like you want to grab the pillar. This is that's why I'm saying ridiculous. How can you... you had enough rest, you just woke up. What's wrong about it? And you're supposed to meditate. Nothing like, okay, sitting is maybe too difficult, I'm walking. But even just walk straight becomes impossible. And in the middle, nothing works. And then, okay, I just gave in. I give in. And then I went out from the side door, then just outside the building to maybe small amount of maybe rest or something to at least get the energy. When I went there are a few friends already. Other monks had the same problem, so it's not only me. So I felt better. But so this kind of thing. So once you come to the monastery, longer period, you may think the life as a monk or ordained is peaceful and then wonderful and then so all beautiful image you can project. You can, but once you come to live, actually these hindrances will come. And also often there's no reason. And it's not like a one day this, next day changes, not like this. Sometimes really persistent. And, in Thailand, this is the hot, I can think this was the hot weather and so on. But in this country, too, and my responsibility at Amaravati is to look after junior people. And then I am a person to listen to, and yeah, I was the same, don't worry, we'll be okay, that kind of things. And this drowsiness, same thing. I know, for example, one person, he was very, very diligent in America. And then he says, oh, Ajahn, I really appreciate this way of life. Good, yes. And then we're happy. And he had a upasampada full ordination to become a bhikkhu like this. But soon after this, he again, ridiculous kind of drowsiness. And, you know, bell goes 4 and then 5. We are expected to be gathered in the temple, but he almost always misses it. And he knows it, and it is very embarrassing. And he knows every day lay people come to offer food for nothing, just out of generosity, out of faith, and to support our life. And our responsibility, what we can do as a return is to practice. But, you know, you cannot get up. And then not just the one day you miss, day after another. This is, it's not just discouraging and more than depressing. Really, it can become heavy suffering. So these kind of things happen. And this is an example of drowsiness, but other things too. So that's why when we come to practice or when we come to ordained, we really have to talk about what is patience. And if you come to the monastery, particularly live as a monastic, you almost always hear once a week at least. If not every day. But if you go outside the monastery, how this do you have to use this word? Like connection is not good, this Wi-Fi is not good, I need to have a faster connection. I want to have an answer. Okay, we need to develop technology. So the technology is the life world, quote-unquote, development, is to get faster answer, to make it more convenient, to make things more agreeable. Well, of course, there are good things, health matter or welfare of people has been improved a lot last century, last decades too, but also we can see just we may become more and more impatient without noticing it. So once you come to the monastery, we are doing completely opposite. So this virtue of patience is really required. And that's why when Lord Buddha taught over the Patimokkha, very short exhortation, but that we referred very often, he says, Nibbānaṁ paramāṁ sukkhaṁ kanti paramāṁ tappo stop it. So Nibbāna is the supreme, highest happiness, and kanti, patience, is highest tapas, well, practice. So why Buddha had to say this quality of patience as the highest in our practice? And this example of monastic life, but also when you practice as a lay person, same things applies. Because, yes, one of the issues is difficult to motivate. Okay, you come to the monastery, you feel motivated, but if you go home, various challenges, and my practice never goes anywhere. That kind of thing, you feel discouraged. So, quality or a virtue of patience is, I have to say, it's not only in terms of Buddhist way or practice or anything, but even the life itself, how to be with this life, the patience is really key matter. And I probably am repeating again and again. We are looking for the answer quicker one, easy one, and yet impressive one, the most agreeable one. But the real one is not like that, I believe. Real one requires a time, but not like you never get, but you have to work on and on. Not that depressive way, but practice goes with patience, because what is practice? Practice is another core issue. Practice, okay, we use the word liberation, non-suffering, true happiness, whatever you want to summarize it. But this is against the world. This is against our conditioning, or what world believes, what world been reinforcing us. Nobody else, but it is within ourselves. So, Dhamma, truth, true happiness, or true freedom, whatever, but our conditioning is always opposite. That's why challenge is always. Doesn't matter you are ordained or lay person or Westerners or Asians, men, women, old, young. This is that one of the way I can see. And then, so how to proceed with this challenging situation? Always Dhamma and the world is opposing each other. Is what requires there is patience. Okay, I can stop here.